The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie where Spock doesn't really do anything until he dies, and that's the biggest thing that has ever happened in the Star Trek universe.
The movie where Scotty decides that a dramatic entrance is more important than trying to save a man's life.
The movie where you wait to hear one man's name. Khan!
This is Ratha Khan on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Welcome back, Blockheads. This is Blockbuster Nostalgia, episode 39, Star Trek, episode 2,
The Wrath of Khan.
I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin, and joining us today
is Vincent Duncan.
The Duncan is back in the house.
Solo this time.
Yeah, solo. One half of the Duncans. Sans wife. Because
she was on the phone the whole time for the movie.
She decided that rather than watch Wrath of Khan, she needed some
Halloween
shopping.
To be fair, she got her Halloween shopping done.
Yeah, so, you know.
She was doing a lot of Halloween shopping whilst we were watching Wrath of Khan.
I don't have to worry about my costume anymore.
Yeah, it's
taken. I do feel like she could have just talked about Halloween stuff on here, but, you know, she opted out.
Yeah.
But now I'm changing my mind. I want to be Khan.
That's a good costume.
Yeah, that is a good actually, that's a very good costume.
Yeah,
you have to get that chest though, man.
Yeah, you gotta work out.
I decided
just shouting
Khan.
Out Khan.
It'd be cool too if like I'm Kirk and then every now and then I just behind you I go Khan.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
We'll slowly whisper that in her ear while she sleeps. So yeah. Subliminally put in it.
So she just wakes up and like I had a weirdest Khan. Dream where you are Khan.
Every hour. Khan. God.
Ridiculous. Anyway, well, but rightly so, though. This movie is about men.
Oh, it's a very manly movie.
It is. It's about male friendship, fathers and sons. Like, it is a very...
It is. It is, for sure. I mean,
man-centric, yeah.
There's even Chippendales in the movie.
Yeah, there is, for sure. We are kind of steering into the stereotype, but... Both the girls fell asleep while watching the movie, so what are you going to do?
And they both opted out. We're like, I'm not going to do that. Fuck you guys.
So, hey, it is what it is. So, this is the podcast. This is your first episode. We are the podcast that's counting down the top 105 grossing movies of the 1980s, one by one. We're down to our second Star Trek.
Yeah, second Star Trek, second.
We already did Star Trek Episode 3, which is the direct sequel to this.
To this one, yeah.
Which, if you go back in our feed, it's only a few episodes ago.
Yeah, it's like three episodes ago.
Yeah. And so we talk all about that, but now we're here with arguably, not really arguably, it's definitely the best Star Trek movie ever.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
What's the numbers, Francisco?
So back in 1982, this movie came out, made $78.9 million, which is pretty good, especially for early 80s like that.
Yeah, 82.
Early 80s, again, adjusted for inflation, that's $12.3 billion
Sounds
today.
Sounds right.
Yeah, highest grossing movie of all time, yeah, I would say. Yeah. But yeah, it brought in a ton of money, and it was more successful than the first one.
Yeah, way more successful than the first one.
More successful than any
of the sequels.
Yeah, definitely the most critically acclaimed one too.
Yeah,
and this really is the one that like even the norms went out and.
Yeah, they all like it.
Everybody kind of, it's
like.
And by that I mean people named Norm.
Right.
All the Normans.
All the Norms.
Norm
McDonald missed out on the first one.
Norm McDonald, his favorite Star Trek movie.
That's
Norm from Cheers.
Yeah, Norm.
Star Trek movie. That's the only two Norms I know. I literally know no other Norms.
Norm, I mean, that's still
Norman
Cheers.
Peoples, right? Peoples, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. Cheers was around this time, right? So it's feasible
that
Norm would have come in
He's
and talked
He's a big Star
about.
Trek fan, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, had some qualms, and then, what's his name?
Well, Cliff would have tried to correct
Cliff,
him on the physics,
of course.
Cliff,
there you go, that's what it is, yeah. The mailman.
Of course, yeah, the mailman.
Maybe Norman Reedus was born on this
Norman
the day
Reedus.
The movie.
Hey, now we're thinking
maybe
Norms.
He was born the day this movie came out.
Yeah, we got some Norms,
be,
yeah.
I have no idea how old he is, by the way.
That's a good question, actually. How old is Norman Reedus?
I don't know.
He's that sounds about right, like 36?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Mid-30s? Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Come on a podcast, Norman Reedus, and tell us how old you are. We will not Google it. You have to refuse. Come and tell us. Yeah. I refuse to Google that fact.
I don't want to. I haven't finished the last season of Walking Dead. I refuse to chance spoilers.
I do not look any actor on that show because it'll just spoil
it'll
shit.
It'll just spoil everything. Right. So
what Norman Reedus' death on Walking Dead means. And then, God damn it.
Fuck.
Son of a bitch.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Why he shot Rick in the face. God
Jesus.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all
right. So.
A spoiler alert on this one.
Yeah.
Spock dies in this.
Spock dies.
Spock dies.
Spock dies. Although, does he? No, he, I mean, he does, but not really.
Physically.
If you've listened to the Search for Spock episode, then you know that he comes back.
Also, if you saw the second...
Also, if you saw any other Star Trek movie...
Yeah, they talk about it.
Right, they reference it everywhere.
Well, and also, he's back in all the ass of the rest of them.
He's in the rest of them.
Yeah, that's...
He's like in all the Picard ones and stuff. Like, he just shows up.
Well, no, that's good. Not,
no, that would have been cool, though.
Kirk shows up in Generations.
Generations. He's just chopping wood.
Yeah, just chopping woods Malcolm McDowell, right?
Yeah. That's a cool scene. Just finds him chopping wood and... Woods. I mean, he was already an old man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's an old man in this. So this is another movie. And if you listen to our other podcast, and if you saw the third one, where an aging William Shatner fights an aging Christopher Lloyd.
Yep.
In a dashing, I don't know, like high stakes sci-fi epic fight.
Punch each other.
Yeah. This is a 61-year-old Ricardo Montalban going toe-to-toe with a 51-year-old William Shatner.
Although they never meet.
Adventure.
They never meet face-to-face.
Neither the actors nor the characters.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Yeah. Considering they are like the two main characters.
Yeah, because you said that maybe they just use the same set, right?
Yeah, they use the same set. They just had to refit it to do the Reliant later on. So it was like 4 months apart. They had to redo everything.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So they never even were in the same room.
No, they never
just
were.
Shot everything.
Yeah,
apart.
Essentially, like Multibot is a saying. Like he would always talk to like a female stage, talking like speaking the lines of Kurt.
Really?
Right. The whole time, yeah.
Just
a lady. A lady off stage.
There could be any other
guy probably just reading it straight, just like Khan. How dare you?
No emotion.
Like, yeah. I'll get you for this, Khan.
As he hands him the coffee, you know? Something like that.
Yeah. Multibot's like, yo, Kirk! Yes,
From Ailsa, I stab at thee. Yeah.
But that sounds like really good lines.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Moby Dick, right?
Yeah.
But, so there's a big Charles Dickinson, like, fetish in this movie. But, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the
plot in this movie. So...
We open with the future.
Yeah, this is sometime in the future.
No, they actually specifically say the year. I think it's like, 2385, something like that?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So we open with the famous Kobayashi Maru. It's a bit of a fake out for the audience.
Yeah.
Because you see some of our fan favorites, like Spock and McCoy, get killed.
Yeah, they're all in there, but they're being led by fucking Christy Alley.
Who we've never seen before, right? So
again,
we're just like, who's
Cheers.
This chick? Yeah. Exactly. Cheers, right? Was Cheers already? We should probably look that up. I don't remember when Cheers started.
Have you ever noticed that you never saw Ratha Khan and Cheers in the same room at the same time?
Wait a minute.
Khan!
Ted dancing this whole time.
He was a Genesis machine.
Of Cheers is just Genesis after this movie. It's just after Genesis.
Turn it to a bar.
Because really, the Enterprise doesn't get away. It gets caught up in the blast, and it just turns into Cheers.
that's like the true canonical sequel there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cheers started after this movie got released.
Yeah, okay.
That makes sense.
So this really was like Christy Alley was like nobody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It does fit in canon.
Oh, yeah.
It's our new canon.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I guess Ted Danson is Kirk, right?
Yeah. It's just that's how the Genesis machine works.
Christy Alley is still Christy Alley.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody changes.
Is Spock Kelsey Grammer?
Yeah, clearly.
Spock's Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, I see.
McCoy becomes Norm.
Scotty becomes a fucking...
Cliff?
Cliff, yeah.
Yeah, Scotty is Cliff. Who's Woody? Sulu?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Why not? Rita Perlman? Who's Rita Perlman?
Uhura.
Yes. Uhura. We'll go there. You nailed it. So
I was going to say the little ear slugs, but all right.
The CD eels.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I expect much fan fiction coming our way, this crossover fan fiction that we have just created.
Star Trek and Cheers.
Yeah, Star Trek and Cheers.
I don't know why this hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it writes itself.
Yeah. So, Paramount Pictures for Star Trek 4, I got you.
This crazy meta.
So we start with the Kobayashi Maru. It's a big fake out where we see some of our fan favorites get killed, but they're not really killed. This is all a simulation. Yeah. It is the, well, I think this is the first time we hear about it, right?
Yeah,
this is
the first time you'll hear about it.
Comes out, I'm asking Vince, if you listen to our last episode, you know that while me and Francisco both enjoy Star Trek, we are not experts in any way, shape, or form.
No. I've seen some episodes. I saw the movies. Some of the movies, not even all of them. You've seen all the movies.
I've seen all the movies, yeah.
Vince, though.
I've seen like all the movies, all the original series, and a lot of like Next Generation and some of Enterprise, mostly because my dad watched that religiously when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And my sister loved it, and I tended to love it, so.
Yeah,
there you go.
So Vince knows a lot more than we do.
He has a little more knowledge than we do. So we're going to go to him for some fact-checking from time to time, because it's faster than checking the internet.
On our phone.
And also, much more handsome.
Yeah. Thank you. Google could be pretty handsome, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
the curves on that G and the O.
Yeah, that's true. Especially when they do those special fonts for special days. Yeah. You're like, shit.
I tap that.
Oh, shit, Google.
I tap it.
I press the tap key over and
I do it, physically tap that key.
Oh, I just thought we were talking about masturbating furiously while looking at the Google homepage.
Google logo.
I mean, not that I've ever done that.
Right, right.
I'm just asking for a friend.
Yeah. Well, for a friend, is that normal?
Let's beam back to the movie here.
Oh, all right. Good transition.
So it turns out that the Kobayashi test is a lose-lose test.
Yeah, it's specifically set up to be whichever way the commander chooses, they're going to lose.
Yeah, it's a no-win situation. Essentially, it's a test that just tests the captain to see what their logical reason and what they would do in situations here to test
what's
their
mettle,
reaction,
essentially. Exactly. Yeah. How are they going to handle a situation like this that leads to death?
Yeah, and Kirk even says, like, death is just as important. Like, dying
how
is
you,
important.
Yeah, how you face your death is how important as is as important as how you face your life.
Which I feel like it's bullshit.
It is bullshit.
Yeah, there's no way that you go like on a fishing boat and when you're learning how to be a fishing boat captain, they're like, well, here's what
happens when everyone dies.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see what you do when the boat sinks. Like, there's no way that that's a real test.
But it's a psychological test.
It is, yeah. And it's actually really cool.
It ends up showing a lot of, I mean, because this movie, to me at least, the reason I love this movie more than any of the other tracks has a lot to do with the fact that this is the most Kirk, like, this is the movie that shows the most why Kirk is awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, because even when it comes, and this is, we're getting way ahead, obviously, but the big spoil, or the big, like, reveal of the Kobayashi Maru is that Kirk's the only person to have ever beaten it, and the way he did it is he cheated. He went in, he reprogrammed the computer, because that's, like, Kirk's solution to everything is just, like, I'm gonna figure it, like, I'm gonna cheat my way, I'm gonna scheme my way, like, he'll outsmart him, he'll outwork him, like, he's just like...
Yeah, lose-lose situation, I'll always find an answer.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if I have to bullshit my way through some things. And
exactly, yeah, exactly.
Buy time somehow.
That's why, like, he doesn't believe in, like, regulations and all that shit. Like, he just trusts his gut, he trusts, like, he's gonna figure it out and make the impossible possible.
And that's why he does, when he outwits somebody, it's, like, in a way that you wouldn't think. It's always, like, two steps ahead.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what he does. I mean, he cheats, he reprograms it, but that's still two steps ahead.
Right. Like, you're still like, you figured out a way to win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No matter what.
Right. That's a preemptive attack there, really, against a computer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even when you talk about war strategy, I mean, part of the strategy is putting yourself in a situation where you're at an advantage. So if you can go in before the test, put yourself in an advantage, that's strategy. Like, that's classic fucking Sun Tzu shit. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the Kobayashi Maru. Then we also find out it's Kirk's birthday. He is now an admiral, which means he no longer has a starship.
No. He's like rocking out, just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
Yeah, drinking like a...
Romulan ale.
Yeah, Romulan and ale.
Illegal Romulan ale. Yeah. Talking about Klingon aphrodisiacs.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, that's exactly what you need when the blue pill wasn't invented back in the day.
Exactly, because this was... I mean, obviously... It's the future, but in terms of like 1982, that was like pre-Viagra and all that shit, right? Yeah.
I mean, we talk about in the future, there's probably no Viagra because of the great Viagra.
The great Viagra Cialis War, yeah.
Yep.
There could be only one. Many, many men died. Coffins had to be specially shaped.
So many boners.
Like, we can't bend the wood this way. I
mean, we're going to just cut a hole.
We can't bend wood around the wood.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of like hammers just knocking stuff down, breaking things. It's very ugly.
I would do that. If I had a corpse that was just like
yeah, hard, I would just take a hammer.
Hammer it down.
Just hammer it down.
What does he care?
Right, it's like whack-a-mole, like at the end, just like hitting all the...
You would think, yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I would hammer it in. I would just like hammer it at an angle.
Yeah, at an angle, man. What are you thinking?
Well, that's two different viewpoints in here, although, right? Although, two very different ideas.
Either way, imagine if, like, you know, you were resurrected somehow. Like, for instance, Spock in the next movie, and you look down, and your dick's just knocked off with a hammer.
It is just at a like, weird.
Jesus,
I didn't ask for this.
Yeah. It's just knocked in. Oh God,
I'm alive, but why?
He has an innie now, right?
Yeah. Now you know why zombies are so pissed.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
It's all, it has to do with their dicks.
Yeah,
that's the first thing that decomposes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the first thing you lose to rigor mortis.
Yeah, I mean, you never see zombies with dicks, so. Therefore,
I'm going to rewatch every episode of Walking Dead now. Yeah, just no see
dicks.
If I see that.
No dicks.
Yeah. There's got to be some dicks in there somewhere.
I mean, not that you can tell.
Yeah, that's true.
Go like freeze frame like everything with like a zoom horde in. Of zombies. Zoom bulge? In every zombie.
There's got to be a dick in here somewhere. Guys, I know, just obsessing constantly over it, losing sleep, just
right. And you're like frame. One of those like theorists. It's like there's, I swear, you've there's
got,
a dick there.
You've got one of walls. Those boards with the strings to tied the red strings. All in the middle is just Robert Kirkman.
There's a dick somewhere in here. I know there is a dick that's not Robert Kirkman. Oh,
JK.
Yeah, no. Come on our podcast and defend why you're
yeah,
there.
For sure.
Right, and show us where the dick is in your show, please.
Yeah, please, Kirkman.
We would like to
we
see
we need to see dick. We need to see zombie dick.
All right, maybe don't say it like that.
No, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure you said you need to see zombie dick. I'm pretty sure that's on record. Blockbuster Nostalgia, I need to see zombie dick.
I just clipped that. We're going to use it forever now.
We need to see zombie dick.
Every Halloween from here on out. Yeah.
I just go this Halloween as a zombie with a dick, and I'm just like, hey, check it out. And they're like, yeah, you're a zombie. I was like, yeah, but did you notice?
Anatomically correct zombie.
Did you notice I still have my dick?
Yeah. Not all zombies lose dicks. Yeah. I don't know if you know that.
Most zombies no dick, but me.
I have a dick. Clearly, I have a dick.
I get kicked out of so many bars. But the whole point of Kirk's birthday is that it's this whole idea of him getting old, right? And he no longer has his ship.
Yeah.
And he's struggling to deal with it. He's got to wear glasses. He's struggling with aging, which is funny because he still makes these Trek movies for like another fucking 12 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like this,
and he's only
one.
51. Like he's not that old.
Yeah, I mean he's like
he's,
midlife crisis.
He's a little bit old. Yeah, I guess that's what it's meant to be, right? Yeah. It's a midlife crisis. This is also our first introduction to Spock gives him Tale of Two Cities. Charles Dickens.
Yeah.
So and the Moby Dick thing becomes very very important to the course of the film.
Oh, that's even the Tale of Two Cities too. He has that whole thing at the end.
At the end, right?
It's a far
yeah.
greater thing I do now. Yeah.
Exactly. Then at the same time we find out that. Our old buddy Chekhov is now with the Reliant.
Yeah, he's on another ship now, doing his own fucking thing.
Doing his own fucking thing. Specifically, they are scouting for a planet to test something called
the Genesis.
Genesis machine.
Which, unlike the band, won't destroy your ears. It'll just destroy all life on a planet.
It terraforms a planet.
Yeah.
But they do specifically
Let me do another take on that. Unlike Genesis, it... Nope, still nothing. Still nothing. Unlike the band Genesis, I don't know. It doesn't suck. That's my point. It doesn't suck.
No, the Genesis machine is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, the Genesis machine way better than the band.
Wait, can we go listen to Genesis real quick?
Yes.
No.
Yes, we can.
No.
I like early. I like Peter Gabriel Genesis.
I never can. I can never get into it. I can never get into it.
Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, man. That's a great character. That's a great album.
Is it?
I like that, actually.
Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, man. Go back and listen to some early Peter Gabriel Genesis. It's
been a long time since I've heard Genesis. Jesus.
All right, I'll take your word for it, I guess.
I'll play you some.
Just sing a little bit right now.
Yeah.
Lamb Lies Down on Broadway.
Okay.
No, terrible.
It's awful.
This is all Khan's fault, I'm sure. Yeah. Khan!
This is damn it, that Khan. He's got his fingers in everything. He's got,
right.
That's so why smart. They broke up. That's it's all because of Khan. Yeah. All right, so then we are also introduced to a couple of doctors, a couple of scientists.
Yeah.
Yep.
Carol Marcus and her son David, who we will later find out.
Bum, bum, bum.
is Kirk's illegitimate son.
Because like we said in the other podcast, in the Search for Spock podcast, every great adventure gets a fucking illegitimate son.
What's interesting is that that's not really the focus point of this movie at all.
And it's a big deal.
Like in every other time they do that. It's like a huge... It's like in Indiana Jones or whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, it's always like a huge deal that, oh, you have a son now. Like, that becomes the whole like fucking motivation of it. The last Jack Reacher was all about him having a daughter and having to deal with that shit.
Yeah, even they even made a fucking shitty Die Hard about that.
That's right. Yeah, when Die Hard about his kids. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Why'd you bring it up?
I know. Yeah. Well, fucking,
I mean,
they never made
Die Hard after 3. I don't know what you're talking about. Third Die Hard was the last Die Hard.
Fever dream. Yeah.
Right. That series just lived free and died hard. You know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna leave now.
They're looking for the spot for Genesis. They find this planet that seems empty, but they're picking up some strange readings. So they, as normal, the captain of the ship and the first officer.
Yeah, they go down.
They go down right, by themselves.
Logically,
with no,
they'd be the one that go yeah, down. Yeah.
Exactly. No, yeah. no everybody. No out. Guards. No. security. No scientists. No, yeah, just those two.
Yeah, they definitely decide to go to this planet because what they think is it's SETI Alpha 6.
Right, but it's SETI Alpha 5.
It is, yeah, because they're like, oh, it's an inhospitable planet, so let's go here. Maybe we could test a Genesis on this and see how that works. But lo and behold, they run into
just a fucking trailer park.
Fucking Mad Max War Boy motherfuckers.
Yeah, for reals.
It's
Monsieur Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah, it's none other than Khan himself.
Who I did not know this before I did some research on this, that he was on the show before. I didn't know
Yes, they did an episode of the show. Yeah. You've seen the episode.
Yeah, it was an episode Space Seed.
Yes, it's very famous episode that people liked a lot. That introduced the idea, and he was from our time.
Yeah, he definitely was a genetically engineered, essentially super soldier who has a...
He's basically evil Captain America.
Yeah, he has essentially no limitations on mental and physical attributes that regular humans have. Oh. There's a huge thing about like a eugenics war that came out where actually Khan was like one of the leaders of like the super soldiers that ended up controlling and ruling a quarter of the Earth at the time.
Yeah, but then that was like in the 90s.
That was 1996. So if you don't remember, if you're too young to remember 1996, we had a genetics war in which Khan ended up ruling most of Asia.
Ruled most of Asia and Middle East.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah, people complained he looked too white for it. So
his name is Khan too.
Yeah.
I feel he should have been a Japanese guy. But.
Well, no, it's like Genghis Khan, man.
But yeah, then once
Genghis Khan was the Mexican guy.
No,
Ricardo Montalban was a Mexican guy.
That's a good point. He definitely was a Mexican.
But yeah, once Khan like they ended up losing the war, they ended up like fleeing on the SSS Botany Bay and ended up going to him and 84 other like super soldiers into cryostasis.
Oh,
essentially,
okay.
Like along with like his wife and stuff, but whatever. So again, that's when in Space Seed, Kirk and the Enterprise end up finding the Botany Bay and bring him back to life. And Khan tries to take over the ship and wants to do a lot of stuff, but then Kirk foils him like he usually does.
Yeah.
And that's where he exiles him to SETI Alpha 5. Again, it was a living planet where people could live and hopefully they could thrive and be their own people. But again, certain things around that solar system destroyed a couple planets and made that world into a desert planet. Yeah. And he lost his wife and family and everything, and he blames Kirk for it.
All right. Of course he does.
That's why you're here.
Yeah.
I had no idea any of that.
Thank you. Thank you, Vince, for the setup.
You're welcome. Yeah.
But the impressive thing is that you don't have to know any of that.
Yeah, no, you don't.
No, the movie is very well built.
The movie builds it so clearly that you're like, all right, this guy had a run-in with Kirk, hates him,
yeah,
wants to kill him, and that's really all you need to know.
Yeah, and because he's absolute, like, just vengeance.
Yes.
That's all he is.
Like, his whole point, yeah. I mean, it's the Moby Dick thing, right? Like, he's Captain Ahab, he's consumed by his hate.
And Kirk is his white whale.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And then, but so they run into him. And then immediately you get one of the most iconic scenes in this fucking movie.
One of the scene that, like, legitimately freaked me out as a child.
And I think I think it may be in the AMC did, like, the 100 scariest movie scenes. And I think it's in
there. I mean, at least, like I said, as a child, maybe because, like, this was a movie that I watched as a kid, because it's not like it's not an R-rated like horror movie or anything.
No, they play a show.
Yeah, this is a movie that would just be on like TV when I was like 5 years old or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
and I'd be like, "Oh, Star Trek, cool, space adventure, blasters, whatever, yeah, shit." And then all of a sudden, fucking letting alien bugs burrow inside people's heads.
Oh yeah, right. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like the precursor of that Family Guy episode of like ear fucking, but with like little insects that are mind controlling you.
Yeah, he get Khan has these weird little fucking like space burrowing insects, and then he pulls the parasites out of them, and then puts them in their ear, and then he can control them with that. Like it makes them super susceptible.
It makes them more susceptible to suggestion. I believe they're called SETI eels, if I remember correctly.
And then, they also he specifically says that then they get bigger and bigger, and then
and they just
go
eat
mad.
Your brain.
Make you go mad, and just like you end up dying because they eat your brain.
Yeah, they're pretty fucking freaky.
Yeah, and that scene just is like
And the way they build it, they build the tension as he's getting them out all slow, and then he's walking over.
Yeah,
and
puts
like,
him in the helmet. Talking,
put in the helmet. They put the helmet on.
They're just crawling
in their face.
It goes straight into their ear, it's like very painful looking. Like they're screaming really bad.
Like I know Andrea wasn't paying attention, but she was cringing already.
Andrea and Emma both had to look away.
Yeah, they were
like they both could not watch.
No,
they're not really good with like insertion and orifices. Well, let me correct that.
They're girls. Why would they be?
Right, and like anything other than never mind. We'll continue on.
quick shout out. All this stuff pretty much like this entire movie shot on sound stages. Good work. Good soundstage work.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, very good sets, very good special effects.
Great map paintings. You pointed out while we were watching the movie, some beautiful map paintings.
Yeah. Some great, stuff.
For 82.
For sure.
Really nice special effects. And you said the first use of CGI.
Yeah, the first complete scene or sequence, which is the showing you what the Genesis machine does. And it's like it takes a planet and it gives it life. It, creates new life in it. Destroys old life at the same time. But either way, it shows you that process, and it's all computer generated. First ever complete computer generated sequence.
And it's pretty great. So after that whole setup, we go back to the Enterprise, which is launching its test mission with a bunch of quote unquote kids, which according to Wrath of Khan are 35-year-olds.
Yeah.
Because everyone on the ship that's not Kirk and the original crew are 35.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all
and they're these wet behind the ears, young kids. And you're like, that dude has
40.
Yeah,
well, to be fair, there's 20, 25 years between them and Kirk.
Yeah,
I guess, 55.
Yeah.
So you call 35-year-olds whippersnappers.
But the whole point is they're supposed to be this is their first mission. They're not,
Yeah.
And it's they don't look I don't know.
Although, if you're giving a fucking massive ship to somebody.
Yeah, and I guess Christy Alley's pretty young, right?
She is.
In this movie, she's early 20s, right? Yeah.
So very hot Christy
Alley. Oh, yeah. Very hot Christy Alley.
Yeah, Vulcan Christy Alley.
Christy Alley.
I feel like it doesn't get better than Vulcan Christy Alley.
You can never go wrong making a chick slightly Vulcans. Alien.
That's true. Either,
if they had gone full blue skin, I mean.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm totally in, yeah.
Three boobs. Slave Leia.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Just combine all of them.
I feel we made the most attractive female.
Just combine all of them. The Twi'lek
tentacle heads.
With the three tits from Total Recall. The Slave Leia outfit. Make her orange like Starfire. And we're fucking
I gotta
golden.
Use the restroom for 5 minutes. Guys, hold on.
Oh, God.
Just ignore the noise.
Saying the same thing over and over again. Three boobs.
Three boobs.
So as they're on their inaugural flight here, they get a call from good old Carol saying, because she's gotten a call from Chekhov.
Chekhov.
Who's being controlled, being like, hey, we're coming for Genesis. Hand it over. Admiral Kirk's orders. So she calls Kirk, who obviously her former lover, her former paramour.
Yeah.
If you will.
What's up, baby?
She's like yelling. She's like, you can't take this from me. You got to stop this. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
But of course, even 300 years in the future, Skype doesn't work.
No.
So.
Right. It apparently has worse connection than nowadays.
It looked way worse. It was snow and shit. It wasn't even drop pixels. It was just snow.
Right, yeah.
Again, in fairness, this was 20 years before people even thought Skype was a thing that would
Would ever happen.
Like, yeah.
No, I thought, remember we all thought collectively, we all thought that payphones were just going to be video phones.
Yeah.
But we were still going to be using payphones.
Exactly, right?
At no point where we were like, we're going to have cell phones.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, we were still like,
it's
still
going to
be.
Such an alien concept right there. Yeah. How dare you
it's still
bring
gonna
that blasphemy here.
They're going to be video phones, but you're still going to have to pay in a street corner to use them.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. No phones in your hand. Fuck
no,
that.
No, no. Well, how would they be that small?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would they be that small? That's impossible.
Right.
Got an entire giant ship full of computers here just so we can get the one.
There's no way we'd get the smaller than the brick.
No.
No.
Scientifically impossible.
What does it say in The Simpsons? Like, I predict that in 20 years, a computer will be 100 times more powerful and 1,000 times bigger. Yeah. And only the 10 richest kings will own them.
So after this distress call, they're like, well, some weird shit's happening.
So let's go.
Let's go check it out. Yeah. We're the only ship around. Let's go see what's up. They get there and the Reliant's there.
And then, bam, immediately shoots him.
Yeah, well, not immediately, because it's Star Trek, so everything takes a while.
Yeah, everything takes a while. Yeah, there's a lot of talking before we got to that shooting part.
So, but yes, they ambush them, they shoot them, they damn near destroy them, and then Khan calls up to, you know, brag a little bit. Be like, hey, bitch, it's me.
Yeah.
Remember me, motherfucker?
I'm the one that's going to kill you. Yeah. I thought I'd let you know.
I thought I wanted to let you know.
Pretty boss thing. Pretty boss thing to say.
Yeah.
So, he's like, Kirk is like, well, you want me, just take me. Leave my people out of this.
And he's like, I'll take you and the fucking Genesis machine.
Right. And he's like, the what?
There's no Genesis.
The Genesis? I don't know what about? You're talking about.
You're talking about the band?
Yeah. Talking about the shitty
talking
band?
About the band.
What? He's like, don't play
talking
stupid.
About the Bible verse, like, chapter?
So Kirk plays the old Kirk
right,
fastball thing.
Right, just talking and buying time.
Yeah,
you know,
and the whole time. And I love this, another great Kirk scene, because the whole time he's like whispering to his people like, all right, do this. The whole time they're hacking in because
he
knows
Reliant.
The code.
He knows the passcode to
like,
Reliant,
he knows the passcode.
Yeah.
He's a fucking admiral. So he has like override codes and shit. So they hack in, take down their shields,
drop the shield,
and then start firing at them, take out their weapons, take out their shields, all that stuff. The Reliant ends up escaping, and then the Enterprise can't really chase after them because they're so damaged.
Yeah.
So it kind of ends in a stalemate.
And that's when Scotty comes in.
That's when...
Well, it's overdramatic fucking...
How's the damage back in... Scotty, how's the damage over there?
He like kicks the door open with a corpse in his arms.
Right.
Literally, I know they slide open, but no. He kicks it open.
He's like, what do you think?
Yeah.
A terrible Scottish accent I can't do.
It's... Yeah, no, What do you think? I don't know. I can't do that.
Wow, you guys are really bad.
Yeah, we're bad. You do it. You can do it.
I'll do it later.
Right. But he totally just brings in like a burning guy.
Yeah. And here's the thing. At first I was like, oh, he's just like, he's bringing this dead person to be like, ah, Captain, I have a dead body, you know?
Yeah.
But no, he brings in a live person and dying. Then they take him to the med bay. Like, go to the fucking med bay.
Go
that's
med
why
bay
you have a goddamn
right,
med bay.
I'm sure from like engineering to the
there's like four
like all the way he passes it just to show him, hey, this is what's going on.
It's like you drive like 3 miles out of your way just to go back. Like, what are you doing, man?
Just to get a good reaction shot of Spock being like, oh God, what have we done?
And then that guy dies in the dramatic.
Yeah, which is fucking worse.
Yeah, that guy
again. Scotty kills that guy because if he would have brought him first,
maybe he survives. Maybe he survives. I mean, probably not. That guy's pretty fucking dead.
He's pretty burnt out.
Yeah, no, he's dead.
But you get that dramatic moment where you know he grabs Kirk's arm. Captain, is the order given? The order's given. Yeah, whatever. Warp speed.
Warp speed. That's what it is. Yeah.
Warp speed into that sweet good night.
And bam, dies.
Heaven.
Yeah. And then,
do they believe in heaven in Star Trek?
I mean, the Vulcans don't believe in their weird fucking mystic bullshit.
Yeah, they have a lot of spirituality to them.
There's
definitely a lot of religion around in humanity, so I'm sure they don't
maybe
directly reference it, but I'm sure it's still around.
Like, there's still like an afterlife type of thing.
Right, yeah. I mean, Vulcans have like a whole like your katra, your spirit that stays around and everything.
Yeah.
They're totally weird and mysticism.
So fucking weird because they're supposed to be so like logical and stuff, but then still steep in fucking mysticism.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
So weird.
Vulcans are pretty cool though. They got the whole like Vulcan like mind meld and everything.
Yeah, which we talk about in the other episode.
But enough about their fake bullshit religions. Let's talk about the real religion, and that is money. And that is our sponsors.
Sponsor time. All right.
So first off, big thanks to People's Choice Video. They provided the movie for us. They do have this movie as well as many a Star Trek and Star Wars and science fiction adventure films, plus, you know, adult films, video games. Buy, rent.
Yeah,
if you're in Southern Arizona, stuff. There's really no excuse. Get yourself to People's Choice Video.
Yeah. So your local 90s video store.
Yeah, not many of those around anymore. It's kind of like very, very like this podcast, very nostalgia.
Yeah.
When you go in there and it's like, I remember back in the days I go with my best friend walking to People's Choice Videos.
Yeah, nothing has changed.
Yeah, it's literally the same thing as it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, for sure.
Walking back in time. It's the next best thing to a time machine.
Yeah, exactly. You want to feel young again? Go to People's Choice Video.
Yeah.
You'll feel just like you were a kid.
All right. Star Trek because you can't find anywhere else, or Star Wars because you can't get it because Disney owns it and they keep that shit tight.
That's true, yeah. And now they're pulling all their shit off Netflix, so where else are you going to watch that shit?
Yeah. You want to watch it without buying it?
Yeah, come on down.
Yeah.
The original.
People's Choice Video. All right.
So also, big thanks to People's Choice Beer Geek Bakery.
Oh, that's People's Choice and Beer Geek.
Beer Geek Bakery offering the best in beer-kissed goodies. That is delicious pastries and snacks made with the best craft beer all over Southern Arizona. You can find them at breweries and tap rooms. You're going to want to follow Beer Geek on Facebook and Instagram to find out about all the amazing events. There was one just tonight for Oktoberfest.
Emma, what's the next? That's right.
She's not here. I don't know what the next event is, but I will tell you this event, because for Oktoberfest, beer pretzels and beer cheese.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be done by the time this.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying that's the kind of delicious, creative amazingness that you're going to find at Beer Geek Bakery.
Yeah, no, I definitely had some before this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah,
I loved it. Yeah.
Follow on Instagram and Facebook. There's events. There's like an event every other week, and they're incredible. And you owe it to yourself and to your children and your children's children to support beer and inside pastries, because how else are we going to get big sugar to...
I don't know what you're saying anymore.
You're just rambling at this point.
You're I don't know. You're saying just words.
Yeah, beam us back to the episode.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go back to the... you know what I did want to talk about?
Yeah. What did you want to talk about?
All right. Because you mentioned it. Chippendales.
Chippendales, yeah. So all the men that were in Khan's crew, essentially...
Oh, yeah.
They were all Chippendale.
They're all male dancers. Strippers.
Yeah, they're all male strippers.
That's fucking crazy. Also, I feel like that makes them a giant queen.
They are, yeah.
Like, that makes him, like, the gayest guy in the fucking universe.
It is also, like you pointed out, they are also kind of like the Aryan fucking masturbation fantasy.
There's nothing but
they're
white
all blonde
guys
hair, white guys, definitely. Girls. Yeah.
Yeah, no, not
although,
even.
Although, as you pointed out, Ricardo Montalban, Mexican.
Yeah, yeah. except for their leader, who was a Mexican guy. Yeah, born in Mexico City. Also, being 61 years old. His chest is amazing.
Yeah, so there's a lot of talk. There's a lot of debate whether or not that was his real chest.
100% his real chest. From what I saw, from everything that I saw, that he worked out a lot.
Yeah, he definitely did. But my wife, Andrea, definitely tells me like his pecs are contoured quite a bit with makeup.
Yeah, like they use makeup to really bring him out, which makes sense.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But for a long time, there was the rumor that he was wearing like a plastic chest. Yeah, exactly.
That definitely looked real to me.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a lot of movement that
he
did.
So good on him, man.
Like,
good on him.
Yeah.
61, getting in the gym. Good job, Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah, good job doing a lot of push-ups and shit.
Yeah, for sure, man.
And then getting a makeup person to like
to contour your chest.
to contour your shit.
That's what I do before every date.
Yeah. I need a makeup person.
A full body contours.
It's just painting on fucking six pack on your stomach. All right, that's good, guys. That's good.
That's good.
Good
job, guys. It's looking good.
If I ever get to take my shirt off tonight, which I will not.
I will not get that far.
There's zero chance of this, but.
No chance.
You can, I don't know what you're doing. You can have sex with your shirt on.
Nobody
demands that you take a shirt off.
The lights will probably go be off anyways.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm looking at you right now. The lights should be off.
You son of a bitch.
Prove me wrong, Eric. Prove me wrong.
He's starting to prove it, actually.
And there goes his shirt.
Now do you see? Now do you see?
Sacre bleu.
That's the only way to react to that is French. Right? A French reaction to it.
If I do clean out, and I will have said it that way.
I don't know anything. We talked about it before. That how weird is it? Klingon is the language that people learn.
Right. It's the evil, the bad guys.
The most fucking aggressive bad guy language.
So anyways, after they've had their big standoff, Kirk goes to the regular station is what it fucking sounds like.
Regular.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible name, because again, you're just saying regular one. Yeah. Hey, regular one, are you there? Regular, no, fuck you. Ordinary
could just
three.
Been like Deep Space Eight.
Yeah. I mean, there you go,
whatever,
right?
Whatever, yeah.
See, have a little foresight, assholes.
You could just right. Space Station. I would have bought that. Space Station 1.
Yeah, just SS1.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Just whatever. SS?
SS.
Maybe not SS.
So they get there. No one is there. It's a ghost town.
Yeah,
it turns out. Like all ghost towns, it has dead bodies.
Yeah, Khan showed up, tortured everybody trying to get the Genesis machine.
Yeah, killed a bunch of people. But there's a few survivors.
Chekov and the captain.
That's right. And they take them down.
And Black Captain Guy.
Black Captain Guy.
Black Captain
I don't know what his name was. I can't.
His name was Black Captain Guy. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that was his
name. We'll go with that. Yeah, we'll go.
And they take them down inside the caves of the planet where Kirk is attacked by his own son.
Damn it.
And his, it's just like the son and the dispensable
and
guy.
And just some guy, yeah. So he fights off his son or whatever, and the son's obviously like, oh, you killed them all, whatever. And then Carol shows up and is like, no, he didn't.
Yeah. And then like, oh, no, everything is cool. We got the Genesis machine here. We're good. Like, everything is fine. And then, bam, Chekov is like, nope.
Oh, by the way, still got a space worm in my brain.
Yeah, I told you guys I had a space worm in my brain before, because he totally did. He's like, he put a thing in our heads
to make him obey him. Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, whatever. Let's just fucking keep on this.
Yeah, ignore everything Chekov says. We can't understand him.
Yeah, what is that fucking Russian?
He's got a weird Russian accent.
Bastard. Yeah.
I never understand what the fuck he said. And then, so then he's like, I have a worm in my brain again that controls me, idiots. So then
Khan orders them to kill Kirk.
And they're like, nope, can't do it, man.
They can't do it. The then captain.
Black captain.
Yeah. Black captain.
Black captain guy kills himself.
Kills himself. Yeah. Salute. Cheers to the black captain guy.
Yeah, for killing himself over killing Kirk.
Yeah. And then Chekov just like collapses, and you see that great
purges
shot.
Out the thing.
Yeah, that great shot of the worm just crawling out of his ear.
Yeah,
There's blood pouring out. It's
fucking
creepy as hell.
And then Kirk shoots it.
Yeah, right next to his head.
That's what you do in the future. Yeah. You shoot bugs. You don't step on them anymore.
Fuck
right.
That.
Right, there's too much effort in that.
That thing was creepy as shit. I'm shooting it. Yeah, I'm not getting my foot close to it.
Super close to his fucking head, and he just square shoots it. And lights it on fire.
Hey, Kirk's never missed a shot.
That's true.
It's Kirk.
I'm pretty sure he was aiming for Chekov, though.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
He just missed.
Mad at Chekov for like, turning on
betraying
him.
Them, yeah.
So he's trying to kill him, kill the worm instead. I guess it's fine, whatever.
I don't want to look ridiculous here. So.
Yeah. You don't want to
play along.
Look, it's regulations. You got to keep your uniform clean. You can't be getting bug juice on it. So,
nobody likes bug juice.
But the other thing that happens is that they gave Khan the coordinates to Genesis, so he beams away Genesis.
The Genesis machine, yeah.
So now they're stuck in the cavern.
That's when you get
the iconic scene where Kirk talks to Khan on the communicator, and you get the classic, Khan!
Shaking his fists and just, And he
says, like, angry face on his...
Yeah.
He's
and
shaking.
While he's doing that, Khan is like orgasming into it. Like, Khan is super into it.
Khan is way into it.
He's like leaning back in a chair and grabbing on and like, oh my God, yes. This Genesis machine feels so good.
Yeah. Oh, shout my name, Kirk.
Maybe the Genesis machine's just like a fleshlight, maybe.
Yeah.
He's like, Genesis machine.
It was very phallic looking. It's just a long torpedo machine.
Yep.
Maybe that's what he likes.
Maybe.
No, it's all about having someone shout your name, you know?
Yeah.
Say my name. Yeah. Things look a little down. This is when we get the big reveal that how Kirk beat the Kobayashi Maru, as they're all kind of sticking around this cave where Genesis has been tested. It's this beautiful matte paintings of green, lush forests and waterfalls.
Yeah, and that's when you, yeah,
it looks like goddamn Rivendell is what it looks like.
Yeah, it really does.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And but then, so then that's when you get the reveal that Kirk beat Kobayashi Maru by cheating. And he gives that Kirk smile. He's like, I don't believe in the no-win situation. Speaking of, and he whips out his communicator. Spock, are we good to go? It's been 2 hours. Because sure enough, he's been planning something the whole time. The whole
fucking time. Even when he was screaming out, God!
It was all an act.
It's all an act.
It's all an act.
He had this down.
He always had a contingency plan, so he's just ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knew it.
So they beam aboard the Enterprise, and you find out they've been working on getting the Enterprise up and running. They've got enough power to at least give them a fight. They're looking at their schematics. They figure out that, like, well, we're still slower. We still can't really beat them in a straight fight. So we're going to fly into this nebula, even the playing field. Because the nebula cuts out shields and it cuts out, like, their
it's like going audio, into like a, their like visuals. Like a storm.
Exactly. You're, like, flying into a storm. That's, you know, the metaphor, I guess. Or the relatable thing to Earth, right?
Yeah, it's like a storm, right?
Yeah, it's like
a purple storm.
Yeah, it's like a nebula. It's just like a massive amount of like different types of gases like formed together. They could be like light years large is how big nebulas could be.
Oh, sure.
And for some reason, they could take out shields in a starship.
Well, we don't not really sure. know how shields work.
We don't know how space works.
Exactly, yeah.
There's wormholes.
We barely made
I'm
to sure, the moon. So.
I'm sure there's a book out there that explains exactly how nebula gas affects shields.
And if Neil deGrasse Tyson wishes to come on the show to
then
explain
he could
this
come
to
on this
yeah.
goddamn podcast. Right,
yeah. Until then, though, I feel like it's mumbo jumbo.
It's fine.
More mumbo than jumbo, but still.
So they fly into this thing, and at first... Khan's people are like, hey, don't follow him. We got Genesis. We're good. And Khan's like, all right, maybe like, fuck this shit. But then Kirk calls him and is like, come on, man.
What happened, man? I thought we were playing a fucking game.
Yeah, I thought you wanted me. I thought, you know, he does the classic woman thing. Like, hey, I thought you wanted me. Why don't you chase me a little bit? Show me some effort, man.
Yeah, Spock definitely reveals that, you know, as intelligent of a man Khan is, but he's not very used to like, ship warfare, and he's very two-dimensional.
Yeah, that's
about
what
it.
Right. He says he's very two-dimensional.
Yeah. So, but even before that, it's the Moby Dick thing. It's his obsession, right? Yeah, like he can't let this go. He can't just win. He has to win on all fronts.
Yeah.
Yep.
He has to completely destroy his enemy. He has to crush Kirk. It doesn't matter. Like you could give Khan $1 billion and a harem and. You know, everything he ever wanted.
I mean,
it
he already
matter.
Had a harem of dudes.
Of dudes, yeah. And a couple chicks.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's chickish. A couple,
yeah, no, there's
yeah,
there
chicks. Yeah, yeah. They're probably still Chippendale dancers.
Yeah,
too,
yeah they were also Chippendale dancers.
No, but regardless, like, he's not going to be happy until he gets Kirk. So he chases after him into the nebula. And that's when you have the conversation where he's like, we got to think in two dimensions, or he's only thinking in two dimensions. They manage to, like, get under him and then come up behind him.
It's actually like kind of based on like submarine warfare.
Yeah, it's very much submarine
yeah.
warfare,
right? Yeah. Yes. And it does feel like that. It's a lot of like biding your time and then like sneaking up.
And Emma, I know Emma is very critical of like how slow these fights are, but it really does build a lot of, especially in this one, because I think this one does a very good job of building it. The tension that they build as the ships are kind of circling each other and coming close is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so some people are not used to Star Trek. This is actually a very action-packed
yeah, I know,
thing
right?
of Star Trek compared to like anything, especially the first Star Trek movie where a lot of people got bored because of lack of action.
Yeah, the first Star Trek movie is pretty fucking slow.
Yeah, definitely. And again, pretty much Star Trek, you know, it's all about like space exploration.
Yes. Yeah, and politics and metaphor, like allegories,
so
rather.
It's not very action-oriented, but this one brought a lot of it to...
Not
like
until J.J.
Universe.
Abrams, anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays.
Nowadays, yeah. Everything has to be fucking action. So, yeah. So, they get up behind him. They manage to mortally wound him. And then, as a last-ditch effort, he engages Genesis. And this is when we get... So, they see the Genesis has been activated. They're like, we got to get the fuck out of here or we're all dead.
Yeah. Genesis is going to kill them somehow? I still don't know.
Well, because it's a huge explosion and it rewrites everything in that area.
Okay, yeah.
All matter in that
area
gets rewritten.
That's true. They said earlier everything dies so that Genesis can start
exactly.
over.
Yeah, yeah. Biologically reasserts like molecular level.
Yeah, it breaks all the molecules down and like fucking conforms them or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Which is how they become Cheers.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, again. Oh, that's where the timeline splits right there.
Exactly. That's actually the timeline that the new Star Trek is getting to.
Yeah,
right.
So they have to get out of there.
They have to get out of there, and they're not getting any response from Scotty because Scotty's been knocked unconscious. But our good old friend Spock, realizing some shit's gone down in engineering, he's left. He's gone down to check it out. And he sees that, like, their main, what is it, their core reactor or some shit, right?
Yeah.
It's out. He goes in there.
Here's the thing. Spock, so Leonard Nimoy was out. Like, he didn't want to do a Spock anymore.
Right. He wasn't, like, planned to be in this movie the whole time. He didn't want to be in it. And the only way they convinced him to do it is if Spock had a dramatic death.
If they killed him.
Yeah. Right, basically, exactly. Episode 7.
Right.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so this movie, he is not written into the plot of the movie.
Yeah,
he's just an officer, kind of.
Right, he has some good, like, one-on-one talks and banter with, ones. Like, he has some good banter with Kirk, but with Kirk and throughout Bones. The movie, he doesn't have, like, really that big of a plot.
No,
like,
he
device.
Doesn't do yeah. much. And yeah. then, but then you get to this point, and then in this point, he is it. Like,
yes.
that is
he is,
it.
This becomes the huge thing.
We're talking about the biggest thing to happen
this
in
the
fucking
Star
Trek universe.
Yes, for sure, for sure. He goes in there. He knocks out McCoy right beforehand. He does
McCoy's
the whole,
like, you're not going
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you're not going to. Yeah. He takes care of him. And that becomes important later. We talk about that in the Search for Spock episode. Who cares? Yeah. He goes in there. He manages to fix it. They hit warp speed just in time to escape this huge explosion that, like, forms a planet that is Genesis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Kirk is like, "Oh, good job, Scotty." And
like,
Bones answers and is like, "Yeah, get down here right away." So he gets down there. They have a really great emotional moment.
Here we get to the best. Like, it's crazy that because the movie is, like, action packed for a Star Trek movie,
yeah.
and it's really well written. But this part is completely separate from all that.
It really is, and it does,
and it is the biggest thing to happen in the universe, and the most beautiful part of the whole movie,
for sure.
Yeah, especially if you followed, like, a lot of the series, like the relationship between, like, Kirk and Spock, like,
yeah, the relationship
just
is huge.
When he knows, like, this is the last time he'll see Spock, there's just, like, so much tension there, so much emotion.
Oh yeah. So they have this incredible scene between the glass. You know, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. You know, you have always been my friend. That whole thing, live long and prosper.
Spock tells him, like, "Don't grieve, Admiral. That's not logical." Like, God
and
damn it.
There's also
that?
There's a little touch, and I don't know if this was Nimoy or the director, but when Kirk gets down there and calls his name, he stands up, and before he turns to face him, he fixes his coat.
Oh, like,
just because, like, it's such like a great little character.
Yeah, that's
moment.
That's such a good little perk. Like, definitely
is,
Spock would do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I love that little touch. So they have this incredible death scene. Then we cut
and
to
Spock fucking dies.
Yeah, I know. If my wife was paying attention to this movie, she would be bawling at this.
Yeah,
movie.
No, she
because
she,
I was
yeah.
ready to cry.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
always.
Well, and then again, as you said, like, the funeral is incredible because you have one of fucking Kirk's line, Shatner's delivery too.
It's still the best Star Trek speech in all of Star Trek.
Right.
I'm
not crying. You guys are crying right
now.
Yeah,
exactly. It gets me every fucking time. And it's of all the souls that I've met.
Yeah.
His was the most
human.
And he's crying while
and
he's
like,
human.
And he, like, does the, like, swallow cry he's delivering it.
So good.
So good. And then they fucking send him off into the
Genesis planet.
And then you have a couple of kind of quasi epilogues. There's the captain log thing. There's also the conversation with
him
McCoy.
And his son.
His and his son. Yeah, with exactly when he's like,
you
know, "I'm proud to be your father."
Yeah.
And then I'm proud to be your son. Rather.
His son was being a dick the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time.
Yeah. Even afterwards, when they're fighting, he's just watching them and being like super judgmental.
And with
weird.
The like the shitty like preppy collar, like the sweater tied
the
around
sweater
his
tied
collar.
Around, yeah,
the rolled up sleeves the whole movie.
Yeah,
like.
The whole time his sleeves are way rolled up, like showing off his guns.
Yeah, yeah. Which he doesn't have many.
Yeah,
so.
None at all.
He does not. He's not a good fighter.
No, he's not a good fighter. He's not very strong or cool looking. So then you also have the scene when he's like leaning against the thing, looking out his Genesis. And McCoy's talking to him, you know, "How do you feel?" "I feel young."
"I feel young, yeah." And he does the
quote,
far greater thing I do now than I've ever done before.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
and it's just the sacrifice.
And then to really cap it all off, you get Leonard Nimoy, "Space.
The final frontier."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in that just gravelly, beautiful Leonard Nimoy voice.
Rest in peace.
Really brilliant way. Of ending, it's a really solid, like, a really solid sci-fi movie all the way through. Like, everything hits on point. And then you don't have to kill Spock, but killing Spock...
But it
Spock,
makes it so... It elevates it.
It elevates it so much. It means so much to Spock.
It means so much to Spock. It means so much to Kirk. It means so much to the idea of sacrifice and the greater good.
And also about being old and stuff like that.
Right, and that definitely kind of takes away, like... A little bit of like the whole red shirts, you know, they're going off and dying.
Exactly.
Like, you know, there's mortality to like the main character.
Well, it's also, you talked about the whole idea of the being old and of the young recruits. I mean, it really is. It's the idea of renewal of the next generation. Like, here is Spock dying to save all of these people that he's trained.
Yeah.
And they're the next people coming up. And it's the rebirth of the planet Genesis. It's the rebirth of everything. It's a really great movie. And,
yeah, no, it makes sense to like Savik or whatever her name was.
Yeah, Christy Alley.
Christy Alley. Yeah. Well, originally, Kim Cattrall was supposed to play a character.
What? No, she was in the first one, wasn't she?
No, because
she's in one of them. No. Kim Cattrall is definitely in a goddamn Star Trek movie.
Is she?
I guarantee it. Look that shit up.
I would definitely have to look that
up. She might have played the same character like later on.
No, there's a Kim Cattrall in Star Trek.
Like young, sexy Kim Cattrall? Because I love me some young, sexy Kim Cattrall.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Ah.
Porky's Kim Cattrall.
Or like fucking Big Trouble.
Big Trouble.
Oh, Big Trouble. Kim Cattrall is amazing. Even Kim Cattrall in... was it Kim Cattrall in L.A. Confidential?
No, that's not Kim Cattrall. That's...
Who is it that plays Vicky Vale in... Or not Vicky Vale. That's the Batman character.
Oh, yeah. She plays up Star Trek, the Undiscovered Country.
Which is the same director.
Yeah, yeah.
Episode
number
six.
Yeah, Jesus.
Nicholas Meyer.
God, I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, Nicholas Meyer, yeah.
So number six. Yeah, so she... And then, but she... Does she play the same character?
I don't think so.
No, it's like a different character.
Maybe, yeah. Although I think she's Vulcan.
She's Vulcan, yeah. She's Vulcan in that one. Oh, I forgot about that movie entirely.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Right, like after like four, maybe like forgettable.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I like six. I like six a lot, quite a lot, actually.
More than this one?
No. No, fuck.
Good answer.
You shut your goddamn mouth.
I do not have to mind meld you right now.
Which is a thing, mind melding.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it is. Fuck yeah,
I would do that so much.
Oh, yeah. I did want to point out, there's a thing I love that happens before while they're in the fight with Khan, where they're all getting ready, and it's a really cool moment. Everyone's rushing to their battle stations, and everyone's getting ready, and you see the photon torpedo... photon torpedo tubes. I've been drinking quite a bit.
We bothered.
There's, like... eight dudes whose entire job is to lift crates out of the way, like lift metal grating out of the way of the photon torpedoes. Like, really? In 300 years in the future,
still, yeah,
we got eight dudes to just get shit out of the way of the torpedoes. Like,
why
really?
Is that not out of the way already?
I know. They're goddamn torpedo
the
tubes.
Still there?
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to use this. Just throw that shit there.
What the fuck is that? Anyways, it's dumb, but whatever. It's dumb. It's very dumb.
So that's the end of the movie. This is definitely the best Star Trek movie, like we said.
For sure.
And a little fun fact, this was a movie Gene Roddenberry was actually ousted
from being like an executive producer and everything. That,
yeah. Yeah, just because of lackluster like reviews and critical and like reviews of the first movie. They're like, we don't like the direction you're going.
And he had a huge part in the first movie.
Oh yeah, he had a huge part in the first movie and that he created Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then going into this one, you know, they definitely tried to bring in more of kind of like the...
Cinematic people?
Yeah, cinematic, like swashbuckling kind of like feel of the old, like original series.
You're talking about like, this is in the middle of like Star Wars, so you have...
Well, I mean, it's after, I mean, I guess it's right before Return.
Right, and definitely because of like Star Wars and Close Encounters at the time.
Yeah.
Like, because they're originally trying to start Star Trek like Phase 2, which was like a further series at the time. But instead, since like the success of these films, they'd like, let's try Star Trek. Then they did number one, then number two came along, and then number two came critical reviews.
It was such a huge
Then jumped to number three, then
To number four.
Spock,
and like,
then number
and two,
four,
three,
then,
and four basically are all like they sequenced. Lead right once into each other. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right, and this just shows like they could pull like a random character, like villain, like from a random episode, like Space Seed. You know, he came up in one episode. Yeah. It was such a great thing, and now Khan's such an iconic villain.
It's not so iconic,
not just in the Star Trek lore, but it's like overall
villain.
Yeah. Like, he does an amazing job as this role. He like really delivers as a great villain.
He's so good. The melodrama, the just obsession. the him like just grabbing at random crewmates and being like, no, I must have him.
Because I know Klingons and I know Romulans, and I don't know any like specific Klingon or specific Romulan.
That's true.
But
yeah.
I know Khan.
I feel like Klingons are in goddamn near every movie, and yet I don't know a single Klingon.
Yeah.
Like, I guess Worf.
Worf, yeah. Yeah. Did you know Romulans are like biological cousins to Vulcans?
Right, yeah.
Right, like you probably didn't know that, yeah. They're essentially almost Vulcans that didn't agree with the Vulcan lifestyle.
But I know about Khan.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah,
and they tried to bring aspects of them back, like in Enterprise. Then they bring him back in Into Darkness with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Which was the big reveal,
quote unquote. I have a lot of problems with that movie, but we won't talk about that for a very long
time. Like at least 20-30 years.
Time, yeah. Until we get to fucking...
Instead of talking about
nostalgia.
That movie,
yeah, exactly. Instead of talking about that, let's talk about our recommendations.
Yeah.
If you like Wrath of Khan, you may also like the following selection of films.
Do you have one?
Right,
I'm gonna go and I'm gonna recommend Starship Troopers.
Oh, yes.
Because I fucking love Starship Troopers. Paul Verhoeven makes his killer bug movie. Again, because it's got killer bugs in it.
That's because of earbugs.
Yeah. Earbugs, killer bugs. But more than that, it actually has a funeral scene in it that's a clear ripoff of Spock's funeral, which is
definitely.
Yeah. Dizzy. Which her name was Dizzy, which is funny.
Yeah. Dizzy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Dizzy was
Coed Showers.
Yeah. It's all Coed Showers, what we're talking
about. Hey, man, I was like 12 when that movie came out. Coed Showers was all I was on.
Yeah, oh, Coed Showers.
Just Paul Verhoeven making just unnecessary nudity for
him. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But it's got a funeral where Rico, which Rico's Roughnecks. I'm a big fan of Rico's Roughnecks.
Oh,
but,
hell yeah.
Yeah. Rico comes out and he's like, they asked me one time what it takes to be a citizen, and it's self-sacrifice, and she was my friend, but more than that, she was a citizen of the...
Yeah, that's right. Like, she's the most human. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a very like Star Trek type of funeral
speech. Yeah, that's definitely it.
Yeah.
My recommendation would be if you're like the girls who wasn't too much into like this type of movie... But it's still sci-fi in the sense where it has like a fourth wall breaking. Would be like Galaxy Quest.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, definitely. You know, Tim Allen, Alan Rickman, Sigourney Weaver. You know, all of them are like all in one movie. But there's a lot of humor to it. You know,
a lot of humor.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of like a gateway to sci-fi. Maybe if you're trying to get the wife or girlfriend into sci-fi and bring them into it.
What a married guy thing for you to do.
Yeah. Did you hear that, babe?
Yeah, good job.
She's not listening to me.
She's not listening to you.
She's not at all.
She's not going to listen to this either.
And it's now like they're doing like Orville and like all these other
things.
Yeah, yeah. But like that's the great, and that's, again, that's the Three Amigos thing.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
It's like a remake of the Three Amigos, but with space.
Exactly,
yeah. It really is, yeah. Which in and of itself is... Magnificent Seven, which is Seven Samurai.
Yeah, exactly. The remakes of that one.
Exactly.
Movie.
And then also with the Star Trek influence.
But good choice. That's a good movie.
I do like Galaxy Quest a lot. It's very fun. There's a lot I could recommend. I do want to give a... I know I recommend Serenity once before, but that's just my favorite science fiction
thing.
Oh,
yeah. Serenity's such a good
Firefly and Serenity is just so good.
Firefly. It's gone too soon.
Gone way too soon. Just on the idea of space exploration... I want to give like a semi recommendation to Mass Effect Andromeda, which I could talk about for hours on how many like crazy terrible flaws and how many problems that game has, but I would still
it's still very fun.
It's still like I just get obsessed with it. But what I'm actually going to recommend on the idea of one of the things that Firefly does really well and that you don't get a ton of in like things like Star Wars or Star Trek is the idea of, all right, we have this crazy science fiction world, but what do people actually do in it?
Yeah.
Like, how does people's lives actually work? And so one of the things that attaches to that is there's a 26-episode anime series called Planets. And it is the story of trash collectors. Specifically, trash collectors in space.
Like WALL-E?
I was saying, is this a WALL-E prequel?
Are you recommending WALL-E? I recommend WALL-E.
I do recommend WALL-E. WALL-E's very good. Right. WALL-E is very good. No, but it's so the idea, if you've seen like Gravity, you know that debris in space, it travels at insane speeds and can just destroy things.
Yeah.
So these are people whose job it is to literally go out into orbit and pick up like screws.
Yeah, because it will destroy. Because
it'll literally destroy a ship. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Useless crap out there.
And there's a lot of really cool, like tense, like very, like the they do a lot of research on the physics, so it's very realistic in terms of like how they collect everything. But really, it becomes a whole character study on like what it would be like just to be a normal Joe. 200 years from now.
Yeah, just doing sci-fi shit.
Yeah, and it's that's a really your regular cool, fucking job. Yeah, it's a really cool, like, different kind of look at science fiction, a different kind of look at the future that's really grounded in people and in actual, like, human emotions and human development and how people interact and fall in love and have jobs and have friends and all this kind of stuff. And it's a really cool, like, underlooked show that I don't think a lot of people have seen.
Yeah, I've never heard of it, so.
Yeah, there all you right, go. Cool. There you
now
go.
I know. So, final thoughts? Any final thoughts on this?
I definitely love the movie. It's my favorite Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
Even the new ones where like Kirk is like on a motorcycle half the movie.
He does ride a lot of motorcycles.
He's rocking out to Beastie Boys a lot.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. This is not my Star Trek.
That's not my Star Trek, goddamn.
No. Beastie Boys, we like Charles Dickens in our Star Trek.
Right, exactly.
God damn it. If you're going to make arcane references.
But yeah, definitely a great like movie. You feel the chemistry between like Kirk and Spock a lot.
For sure.
Multibond does a great job as Khan.
Yeah, he really does.
He really brings like the most iconic villain in the Star Trek universe.
Which is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. No, I think he brings it. I feel like really that core three... When you're talking about DeForest Kelly, Leonard Nimoy, and Will Shatner, or Bill Shatner, as his friends call him, and I'm his friend.
Yeah, clearly.
Personally. Obviously. Good friends. Good personal friend.
Yeah.
Good personal
friend.
Oh, hey, friends.
Bill.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for coming by. You knew we were talking about Star Trek.
Yeah. Be quiet, dude. You don't have to talk.
No, right. It's okay. I don't want you on the mics. I don't want people to think this is like a whole thing.
You're an old man.
It's fine. no, but like their chemistry between the three of them is so good. And like you really do feel like these are three friends that don't always like each other, but they kind of love each other.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. It's a strange movie because it's standalone, it's really good, but then it has like it's almost two stories. It's like you have this whole Khan thing, which is iconic and great, and Montalban is amazing, and everything that Kirk does is fucking great and perfect. And then you have this separate Spock dying story. That is so fucking impactful,
heartbreaking. Yeah.
And you could write that off really bad, and you can write that off and being like, oh well, now Spock dies.
Yeah,
and be like, oh well, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, it could come out of nowhere, but
it is so well fucking done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and even I again to bring up the new ones, Into Darkness, I feel like kind of does it the wrong way. Where
exactly. Where it's just tacked on.
Like you've never really felt the bond between those two characters, so you don't really feel the ending that much.
And it hits me right here, man. Every time.
Yeah, every time that like choked like cry. Human.
It was the most human.
It's so good. Yeah. It's so good.
Every time I get
still good to this day.
Yeah.
Good to the last drop.
Yeah.
Chris Pine has nothing on that.
No.
Chris Pine and what's his name?
Zachary Quinto.
Good old Quinto. Yeah.
Which I mean, I do like the new ones. They're fine. There are pluses and minuses to them, but yeah, this one is clearly the best. And that's not just nostalgia talking. But it is blockbuster nostalgia talking. I am ashamed of myself. I hate that I said those things.
That was awful.
I hate that I said words.
That was awful, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
I just said I was. God damn it. Listen to the things I say.
I am not paying attention.
We try not to.
Yeah.
Anything you say. We really try not
fair.
To.
I have no idea.
So all right, blockheads. Next up, War Games.
War Games.
Matthew Broderick. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, nice.
Matthew Broderick. And more battle scenarios. No, I was going to say like battle scenarios. More
war tactics. Other actors.
Yeah, obviously, there's more actors.
Nope, no one else is in it.
It's not just a one man play. One room.
It's a one man play. It's the town style where there's no props or sets. Isn't it the town?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
right. No props, no sets. Anyways, I know things. I took theater. So until next week, though. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landine.
And I'm Vincent Duncan.
Thanks for being on the show, Vince. Blockheads, come back next week. And please remember, hit us up at blockbusternostalgia@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at 80s Movie Podcast. And of course, like, share, subscribe on iTunes, give us 5 million stars. Until next week, good night and good journey.
We love you.